This reading is from Whispers from Eternity, Prayer Demands, written by Paramahansa Yogananda. Number 170, teach me to drown in thy light and love. Teach me to drown in thy light and live. Live in love, it's not bad. I come to thee with the song of my smiles. Whatever treasures have lain in the secrecy of my soul, I bring eagerly to thee. I bring thee all the honey from the hive of my heart. All that was ever mine is now thine alone. The sunlight of this world, shining upon my eager hopes and brief, fickle fulfillments, my thirst forever in thy radiant waters. The taper of my aspiration will burst aflame with thy coming into a conflagration of bliss. In thy vast, enchanting sea of light, I will swim joyfully forever. Teach me to drown in thee and live, rather than live in a mirage paradise of earthliness and die. About 2 weeks ago now, I received a phone call from somebody I've known for many years, somebody who's been involved with this spiritual community of Ananda, but who was was born and raised Catholic, and Catholicism, really loved Jesus. Excuse me for 1 minute. Is this sound coming? Okay, I can't hear, but I'm just gonna keep talking. I read through the whispers knowing the sound was coming, and I thought I heard it again. So this man called and asked if he could speak with me. Again, he's come off and on to Ananda, loves Jesus, loves holding his rosary beads, and even, in fact, he told me was in a relationship with somebody who was of a Christian faith, some Christian faith, and attended that church. And this person who I know, I feel a deeply loving God. I have always felt that, a genuine love for God. And I guess not surprising that he could find God wherever he went. But what started happening recently is that his family, who were Catholic, his partner started coming to him in a way that was very unpleasant and telling him how he was doing wrong by experiencing any of the other paths, depending on who was speaking to him, and particularly by coming to Ananda. These are people that he loves, people that he trusts, his family, who he says are beautiful souls who pray for others all the time. So the way that can happen when we've learned to love and trust people and we've grown up listening to them and learning from them, a great confusion set in, a deep confusion, a lot of pain. That's when he called me. Now, I've had many people speak to me over the years about coming to Ananda from either a Jewish background or a Christian background with this question, am I betraying either my religion when it's Judaism or Christ when it's a part of the Christian faith? And I've always found ways to talk with these people. But for some reason, this man's genuine confusion, right alongside his genuine love of God. And he said to me, even as I'm feeling this deep pain, this confusion, this angst, miracles are continuing to happen in my life. There's beauty. And he shared some stories that that happened in the past week. And it was very clear to me, and I was able to share with him that so many souls who they're genuine in their desire to know God, in their effort to know God, but if they've not had an experience of God, if they're sharing with us what they've learned through their own practice, through books, through their own ministers, rabbis, whoever, priests, it's lacking. I'm back on. Something akin to being translated. Stop. Okay. We're going to change. Okay. Am I on again? Yes. Okay. So what came to me as I was speaking to that young man was what I often say to people that, first of all, that the masters never argue about their way being the right way. That's not something that happens between them. That in essence, Jesus and Paramahansa Yogananda are one. And there's much more that I could say, but what came to me when I was speaking to him that was so clear to me was that not only could one find God through every religion, not only could they find their path if they knew how to attain that state of inner communion with the divine, but I realized as I was speaking to him that it's not just different religions where truth is one, but paths are many. It's every single soul, that every soul has its own path to take to come to God, every soul. And I was able to say that to him, that with all the best interest in the world, they can't really know your way. I once heard Jyotish say, every drop of water takes its own path to the sea, yet it makes it to the sea. It becomes one with the sea. What we know and what Jesus was talking about, what Yogananda and Swamiji have told us and written to us and teach us, is that there is only one true religion. That is the religion that says we are all manifestations of God consciousness. We have all come from the same spirit. And our soul, in remembering that, is always on this path, its journey, to find its way back to God. This is called Sanatana Dharma in the Sanskrit language, or for the Indian people, an eternal truth that we are longing to return to our divine nature. And that the way to worship, the best way, the right way to worship for each soul is that way that will get us back on that path to God. It doesn't matter what is going on in the religion. Many masters have come over thousands and thousands of years, and they come and They spread their teachings. They have a language. They have a way to pray. They guide people in very particular ways. Let's do these rituals. They use literally a certain vocabulary for the time. They're all looking towards the same goal. Every true religion has for its goal finding our way back to God. But what happens? There are disciples, there are students, most of them not with the same spiritual clarity of their teachers. And they very quickly come to believe that their way, the way that they are understanding their teacher, is the best way to worship. But that's not true. It was never what the masters were saying. Ramakrishna himself said that he entered into the teachings, the vibration of every true religion, and he found deep within himself that each of those true religions would lead him to that place of inner communion with God. Every true religion, but we get lost. So when I was saying to this young man, I hadn't yet read the reading, every soul has its own path, and we have to discover that. And why you can still be experiencing the what we call miracles. There's really no such thing as a miracle. We enter into these moments of truth, of communion, of heart-to-heart love with the divine. And truth happens. And that truth, because we live outside of it for so long, we call it a miracle. But it's not a miracle. It's simply the way things would be, will be, as our soul is connected with God. And for many who are not yet fully realized or don't live in that state, still, many are blessed with moments of it. And your heart knows it instantly. And each time it happens, you are never the same again. You've been touched by God. Nothing is ever the same. And we lay this foundation. This is what it means to walk on a spiritual path. And I was able to say to him last week, the reason this is happening, this deep conflict, is because one aspect of your life is they love you, they care about you, but it's part of the human condition. And it's deeply confusing to you because it's not your path. It's not where you will take your next step. This path is long and winding. The truth may be absolute, but the path goes on for a very long time. And at every point along the path, and God knows this, we need landmarks. We need directions. We need to know, where do we go next? Where do we turn? What tool can we use? All of the outer religions, or the outward manifestation of religion, even for those of us on this path, even Kriya Yoga, which is the way that we're taught to meditate, it's so sacred. It's our tool to draw energy and consciousness in, and our tool to direct it up until we can find those moments through the heart to the point between the eyebrows, the center of Christ consciousness, of pure and utter stillness. And in that stillness, whether it's for a moment or it lasts longer for some, we are with God. And what was happening to this man is he's saying to me, but Shanti, how can it be these miracles are still happening? And I had to say to him, keep loving your family. Keep knowing that they love you. They are doing their best. But those moments that you call sublime, that is God himself speaking to your soul. When your heart bursts open with that love, and you tell me spontaneously you are crying with joy, trust that. Don't trust the hours where these beautiful souls are lecturing to you, and you keep saying, it feels horrible, I feel contracted. You yourself are telling me what you know, what Patanjali told us in the Niyamas, which I said to him, you yourself have studied. Truth always makes us feel better. Truth is a divine state. We know when we're there. Listen to that. And I said to him something that Swami Kriyananda has told us about, because he's so confused, and it is confusing. The woman of Samaria was genuine. Where should I go to find God? What's the best place? And Jesus says to her, unequivocally, he said to her, the time will come where you will see. It's not where you go in an outward way. It's how do we find our way in? God is within. And that's what he was saying to her very clearly. And I said to this man, let me just see where I was, because I said, you know when you're feeling truth. Truth and God, they're one. Go there. Oh, I know what I was about to say. Swami Kriyananda tells us, it's very hard to know sometimes. That's what he was saying to me. With all my heart and soul, I want to know, and I can't. And I said to him, take a little step. Take a little step in each direction. Maybe go to the Catholic Church one week, here the next, some Christian church. God is everywhere. Just go there, and then listen. Listen with your heart. I was so moved by this reading yesterday, and also so grateful that we've had these extraordinary teachers in our life to explain it. Because what does the phrase in spirit and in truth, what does that mean? Really, would I have been able to know what that meant? I want to come back to that. But I want to share a story about a man whose name many of you know of him. We've spoken about him often here, a Christian missionary whose name is Frank Laubach. He's died now some years ago. But his son, well, even before his son in 1937, somebody else published letters that he had written while he was in the Philippines. He had gone to the Philippines as a missionary to teach a certain group of people there. I think they're called Maranels. I think that's the name, but it's close if that's not it. About Christ, about the way, the only way there was to find God. And things didn't go so well for him at the beginning. He didn't speak the language. They didn't understand him. He didn't understand them. And he was feeling really deeply depressed. He wrote to his son. He said, all I'm getting is their indifference. And that word, when I read it last night, really resonated, because Yogananda says to us all the time, God doesn't mind our mistakes. He doesn't mind our failures. What he minds is our indifference. So for Frank Lombach, who was a sincere devotee of Jesus, that indifference was nearly intolerable. And he was very depressed, and he was writing that in these letters, which ultimately got published in this book, Letters of a Modern Mystic. But I was just glancing through that very quickly last night. I just picked the book up, and I came to the place where he said, the only thing I can know to do is begin to practice. These are not his words. I have his words here, but I won't read them to you right now, but it's close. Is to begin to try and practice the presence of God in every moment. And he started doing that. He says it was very difficult for him at first, but he began to try and practice it. He said it came to him that he remembered reading that only, this is in the 1920s now, or maybe 1930, that only a third of the people in the United States were part of a congregation. And that third said maybe they went to church every other week. And then he knew that most ministers only mentioned Christ in 1 out of 4 sermons. So he figured it out that 1/6 of the people were being exposed to Christ or even hearing about Christ at the most 10 minutes a week. And then he said to himself, how can we know Christ that way? How can we know love that way? When he said hate, greed, selfishness are given thousands of times that much energy. He said, what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, come with me, live with me, walk with me, study with me, learn with me, eat with me, sleep with me, 24 hours a day for 3 years. He said, that's a lot of minutes and a lot of hours to know Christ. So he started doing that. And then, and I am going to just grab these notes for a moment. He said this beautiful line after he figures this out and he devotes himself to walking, talking, eating, sleeping. Everywhere he looks, he begins it as a practice. He talks about the challenge of staying within, of developing inner communion with God. But this is what he was doing, exactly what Jesus was saying to this woman, exactly what we've been taught. He says, anyone who has tried this kind of abiding knows the power of it. Listen to these words. He says, it is like being reborn from the center to the circumference. Master says, center everywhere, circumference nowhere. This was in 1930. Frank Laubach's writing, like being reborn. Of course it is. When you dive that deeply into God, when you discover the divine within, you are reborn into your true nature, into God's love, into your divine reality, from the center to the circumference. And then he says so beautifully, it changes every person who does it. That is just so beautiful. Later, he goes on in that book to give us what he calls the game of hours. This is what made him decide his son to publish it. He wanted everybody to see this. He started off by trying to think of God 1 second out of every minute in 1 hour of a day. He says, choose an hour, 1 second out of every minute in an hour, 60 times, and then expand from there. And he says, it will not be easy. You will not do well at first, let it go. You're on the path. You might be low on the path looking at the summit, but you're on the path, and the very nature of calling to God from within will lead you there. When Jesus said to this woman of Samaria, you will find that the only way to worship is in spirit and in truth, not where you go. Many people go to Jerusalem. They're not finding God. They're sightseeing. They're doing a million other things. Even if we sit in these sacred places wherever we go and we don't take the inspiration, the vibration of the great saints that were there, if we don't sit and allow ourselves to use that to awaken that same consciousness within us, then it's a wonderful experience. But it's external to us. It won't last. If we bring in all of that inspiration, all of the joy of God, and we can only do this by sitting in meditation. This is what in spirit and in truth means. In spirit means beyond this body, beyond this material world, to worship God beyond form. And in truth means that we commit ourselves to meditating deeply enough, regularly enough, that we can offer ourselves up to God and be lifted up into that state of truth, of divine consciousness, of God's presence in spirit and in truth. And Jesus says that is the only way. We each need to find a way, as the Bhagavad Gita says, sequestered. Passions calmed, it says, thoughts stilled, or close enough if that's not it. Find time to spend alone with God every day. Find the altar that resides in your heart and pray there. Just go there. You know, I had a profound experience years ago now that I've shared with many of you. But last night, I felt it in a whole other way. This is what happens with these great spiritual teachings. We receive them where we are. Good enough. We're all making the effort. Some years ago now, I was meditating up at our meditation retreat at Ananda, outside of Nevada City. And I had gone to meditate in what's called Babaji's cave. Literally, people at the retreat had dug underground, because Babaji, this great ever-living master on the altar behind me, has a cave that he meditates in. So they built Babaji's cave. People have been meditating there for years. That also makes a place holy. That also imbues it with a vibration. And I walked in there, and totally with God's grace, I went into a deep, what I'll call a deep meditation. Instant kind of calmness. Felt my heart opening. And after I meditated for a while, I just could feel the masters. That's all I can say. I don't even want to try and explain it. And the thought came to me that they were about to ask a lot of me in terms of what I would be doing in the world. I felt like I heard them say, we are about to ask a lot of you. And the list came to me. The list is the least important part of this. But then the next knowing, hearing that came to me, and if along the way you forget who's doing it, doing the what was a lot. They said, find the nearest altar. I felt, even in that moment, so much love and so much support and so much reassurance, not just you're not alone, just stay open, Shanti. We're doing this. We have it. Whenever you forget means whenever you get agitated, whenever you think you're doing, whenever you're feeling like, how am I ever going to get all this done? Find the nearest altar. So, silly me, that's what I did for 2 years. Every time I could feel myself, as soon as I could catch it, I'd run to an altar. Well, you know, not hard. There's altars everywhere in Ananda, in everyone's homes, in every room in the church, the temple, the teaching center, everywhere. Wasn't a challenge. One day in meditation, it came to me, Shanti, they were talking about your heart. The nearest altar is the altar of your heart. When Jesus tells us that the first commandment is, how do we worship? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart means get rid of all of your desires, your needs, your attachments, and move into that pure love. From there, you're connected to God, to that soul reality that doesn't just connect your soul to God consciousness, but connects your soul to every soul. With all thy mind, clear your mind of its thoughts. With all thy soul, find God in that transcendent place through the heart. And with all thy strength, it means do everything you can to draw that consciousness, that energy in, and offer it up into the infinite light. And if this all sounds as overwhelming as it could even sound to me, of course, to any of us, who can do what these great saints do every moment of every day? Master says, better you should meditate for 5 minutes a day with deep devotion, with deep concentration, with that clarity of mind, than to sit there, I forget what his phrase is now, but I forget what Master's term, lackluster attention, lackluster. He said, do it for 5 minutes. Meditate for as long as you can feel joy and to stay alert and love God. And if you just have to keep sitting there and saying, I love you, God, I love you, God, and imagine that beautiful lotus of your heart chakra opening because God is love. That is where this inner communion, as we just take this journey ultimately to that place of true, complete stillness. That's what breathlessness is, stillness. That's what self-realization is. That's our path. One step in front of the other. One moment at a time. I love you. I love you. I love you. In spirit and in truth.